are and have been encouraged, haven't we, to run that race. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking onto Jesus. The Lord bless, and we'll consider now another individual, a man. We'll read about him in the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, one of the kings. 2 Chronicles, reading verses, please, in chapter 14, 15, and 16. I have six little pointers. As I read over the life story of Asa, I said, how can we sum it up? And possibly six highlights in his life that are given us in these chapters. Maybe two in each chapter, highlight them. And it would possibly be best if we read the verse and then comment on it and then pass on. So, the life story of Asa. And under that great king of Judah, there was revival and there was a restoration to the Lord. Now, if you go back a ways, the kingdom was divided. You recall, David, a glorious reign, Solomon, again, a glorious reign. And yet you come to his son Rehoboam and Jeroboam, the kingdom was divided. Now, what you might think of that, I don't know. But really, I don't think it was good. How much better to remain together in unity. Psalm 133, for brethren to dwell together in unity. And that psalm ends, there I will command the blessing. So there's blessing. Anyway, kingdom divided, and you have the son of Rehoboam, Abijah, a very short reign, 3 years, and that is followed by the long reign of Asa, some 41 years. Now that just sort of puts it, the story in place. And we'll read in 2 Chronicles 14 and verses 1 to 7. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and brake down the images and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandments. Also he took away out of the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities, and make about them walls, towers, gates, and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Now, just again briefly, at the outset of King Asa's reign, the land had peace. And there was a measure of prosperity. And during those particular years, what did King Asa do? We read that he built and he prospered. Now, beloved, we hardly know what is in store for us. What a day might hold. But maybe in your little life's journey, Christian life, you have a time of rest, peace, and quiet. Maybe it's a time of youth. Or maybe it's senior years. Anyway, God has given you an opportunity. What are we doing with that time frame? I had an uncle in my youth, and I can remember my uncle saying to me a number of times, he would say, James, you might be able to do today what you would like to do for the Lord, but there'll come a day, and you occupy yourself now with what you can do. Into His Word, teach a Sunday school class, be a witness for the Lord Jesus. Do what you can do now, today. And that's what Asa was doing. Verse 2. Doing what was good and right in the sight of the Lord. Oh, beloved, remember, the eyes of the Lord are upon us. How are we occupying our time? Consider a moment our company and what we're doing now and what can be done for the Lord. And actually, this king busies himself at putting away those idols and those strange gods. Verse number 3. Those idols that were sapping the life out of the people. What do you mean by the idol? Well, the idol likely in that day was some image, some god, something that was taking away the affections of their heart from the true and living God. Now, we in our day, we wouldn't set up a grove and an image and so on. But let's recognize that there are many idols. There are many things that come in to sap the life out of the life of the Christian. It's what you set your heart on. Oh, but there's the living God, beloved. And He wants, as we heard already, the love and the affection flowing from our heart, first and foremost. Yeah, what has stripped the seeming beauty from the idols of the earth? Not the sense of right and duty, but the sight of peerless worth. And if we had that focus in our race, in our Christian race, look to Jesus. If we had that focus, beloved, it would just put away the idols out of our heart. And we would just love to live and serve our Lord Jesus Christ, every one of us, in the good of God's salvation, has been given responsibilities, has been given a gift that we might serve the Lord. Here then was Asa, and he busied himself. Verse number 4, seek the Lord. Well, we have that in the gospel, haven't we? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. But as believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, likewise, we are challenged to seek the Lord, to obey. Finally, before leaving this, I noticed in verse 6 and verse 7 that he built and prospered. What did he build? Well, there was a city. And around the city he built walls and towers and gates and bars. Now, I don't know. You're going to think of the spiritual significance of that. 2 months ago, we stood on the city wall in China at Xi'an, a major city just further inland, and a massive city, an ancient city. And there was a city wall. You could run chariots, you could run cars all around the city wall. And I took a walk in the city wall, and I looked out into the old city, millions of people there, and millions of people outside this big city in these huge apartments. But I thought of the city wall, and there was its tower, yes? Watchtower. In that ancient city, they would set watchmen there that would watch and give a and warn of the enemy. And that's necessary in our Christian lives, that we might have a wall about. You know, when you think of a wall, you likely think of separation from what is evil, what is outside, and separated truly unto the Lord. And that's what God would have for us. Truly, He would have us be. And it just comes over and over in the New Testament that we might be saintly, that we might be separated, that we might be sanctified. And all those particular words have the same root meaning, to be separated from and separated unto. And around that city wall, too, they had their guards, and they had their machinery up there, and they had their little lookout towers, and down below there was the gate. I'm not so sure about the bars, but it's important that there be a gate. You know, you think of the gate as that which is can be opened, the going out and the coming in. And there are times when the gate should be closed and the bars set in place. Be warned, fellow believer. You know what's out there. Yeah, they talk about it, don't they? That enemy, that threefold enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And how subtle Satan is. So here's, and this is the lesson, just before I leave, number one, the lesson. Asa is faithful. Asa is ready, because the storm will come. The testing time will come, and it did with Asa. Let us read on. Let us read again in chapter 14, verse number 11 and 12, when Asa is attacked by the Ethiopians. Verse 11. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God. For we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Yes, there was a time now under attack. What did Asa do? He went to the Lord about it. His trust and his confidence is in the Lord. How did he number? Well, the Ethiopians in verse number 9, they had an army of over 1 million. And Asa did have an army here in verse number 8. I calculated out 580,000 thereabout. Anyway, he was far outnumbered the host of the Ethiopians coming against them. But here, verse 11, Asa cried unto the Lord. No, I like this. And this is commendable of Asa, great king. Unfortunately, as we read on, this was not always so. Because as we remind our hearts, Asa had a tremendous start and great blessing in his kingdom. But this was not always so. But this is very commendable at this stage in his life, that his trust was in the Lord. Psalm 121 in verse 2, my help comes from the Lord. Beloved, we're all found in situations from time to time, and they just overwhelm us. Where are we going to look? To whom are we going to look? Is our trust and confidence in the Lord? Is it really His might, His power, and victory? And that's what happened at the end. In verse number 13 to 15 that we didn't read, we won't read, we just leave it. There was much spoil. There was great blessing. Before I leave this, May our trust and confidence be in the Lord. Proverbs 3 again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Caused us difficulties, doesn't it? Just to resort to self, reasoning, and human effort instead of just casting the burden and looking and trusting in the Lord. Thirdly, now, let's move in to chapter number 15, and I would like verses 1 to 3. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed. And he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you, and if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel had been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. So this now is the condition of things. My highlight here is the prophet Azariah, as he would come to Asa, and bring him words of encouragement that he might stand. What's he saying in verse number 2 to Asa? He's saying, Asa, seek the Lord. In verse number 7, we didn't read, he says, Asa, be strong, be strong. I wonder, is that our spiritual condition? John, in writing, he writes to those young men in 1 John chapter 2. He says, I write unto you young men, because you are strong. And the word of the Lord is dwelling in you. And you overcome the wicked one. I wonder, is that the mark of us as believers today? Are you saying, I can do it in my own strength? Oh, I think at this stage, in Asa's experience, he was just cast upon the Lord. And the Lord was his strength. And here's a remarkable thing that's going to happen. He's going to win others over. Asa the king. There are those up in Israel. We read about them earlier. And even their army is going to come down and assist Judah in a time of need. Many, because of the condition of things, the spiritual condition of things for good, others were attracted. And going to come down. And maybe I just point that out. Verse 4. Some in Israel sought the Lord. Verse number 9 in chapter 15 again. Verse 9. He gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon. For they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. Would you think of the God's assembly? I mean, just to branch out now. Would you think of God's assembly as an attractive place? Would you think that others might see what is going on? You know, there was a woman, and Brother Dave, he knows who I'm speaking of. And she lived just near the hall in Saskatoon. And in semi-retirement there, she went out from place to place. And it was actually an evening gospel meeting that she came into the gospel hall just across the road from where she was living. And I think of a woman that was attracted. First of all, she was attracted by the gospel. You say, shouldn't we be attracted to and by the Lord Jesus? Yeah, that is central. Anyway, this dear soul, she said, the preaching of the gospel, she says, I'm free on a Sunday night. I haven't got my responsibilities. Now I've gone, you know, and the doors are closed, but these doors were open, so she came in. And then she came in eventually to the meetings and to the Lord's Supper. And she saw what she had never known before, although a believer. And it wasn't long till her desire and how committed she is today to the Lord and the meetings of the local assembly. She was attracted. Yeah, by the Lord Jesus and to the Lord Jesus, because in all, if it's just a man, if it's just a person, if it's just a function there, or what is done there, no, that will lose its attraction. There'll be human failure. Our hearts must be in love with the Lord Jesus. And so others were attracted, and there was great prosperity at this time. So the lesson here, the lesson in this section, is your work shall be rewarded. And that was the promise of the prophet, and Asa is blessed and rewarded. We heard about that already today. Treasure. Where? Treasure in heaven? Treasure in heaven. Lay up in store. Let's read, please. Again, in chapter 15, fourthly, one verse, verse number 12. 15, verse number 12. Revival. Revival. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers, with all their heart and with all their soul. Now, beloved, times of revival. I believe that revival starts with an individual. And that's what we have here. There's revival in Asa's case. And what does he do? Right away, he says, I'll put away further these strange gods, these idols. Notice, please, get it here. Okay. Looking down in verse, in chapter 15 again, verse number 8. When Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Obed the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. Very simply, the idols must go. The idols must go if the altar of the Lord is to be established. So Asa accomplishes that, and he works together really in the spirit of unity and harmony as others gather with him, and there's just a great conditions of restoration. Verse number 14 and 15, they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting, trumpets and cornets, and Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found to them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. These were the conditions of revival under Asa. Notice with me, please, verse number 18. 15 and 18. He brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. Oh, these precious things, these treasures now, were brought into the house of the Lord. I want to share with you a verse in Proverbs. Not too difficult to find and remember. Proverbs 23 and 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. I thought of those treasures now that Asa brought into the house of the Lord, and he established these things for the Lord. Now, let's move in quickly. In chapter number 16, let's read, first of all, verses 1 to 3. And you'll notice here that Asa's league with Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. In the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, to the intent that he might let none go out or come into Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, "There is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent the silver and gold. Go, break thy league with Baasa, king of Israel, that he may depart from me." Now, maybe that will suffice for the reading there. You know, what I have here is a testing time in the life of Asa. Now, Asa, Israel is coming against you. Who are you going to look to? Who are you going to trust in? What did he do? He sold himself out. He yoked together with Syria instead of looking to the Lord. He even takes those precious things now, the silver and the gold that he had treasured and laid up in the house of the Lord. And it was what? It was just like a sellout. Asa. Although there had been and there was revival earlier, now this is sad. He sought the help of the king of Syria. He compromised. He yoked up with the enemy. Oh yes, if you were to read on, there was a measure of success, but not a great deal. And it just seems that Asa was slipping away and slipping away from the Lord as he leaked up, as he was yoked to the enemy. Now, beloved, there are testing times going to come in our Christian life. Are we going to yoke ourselves with the enemy? Or are we going to depend upon the Lord? I really believe that past experiences should have fitted him for the days that were coming. So in our Christian life, there's learning experiences. Finally now, let's look in closing how that Asa is rebuked by the prophet Benaiah. In verse number 7, chapter 16, verse 7. At that time, Hananiah, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped of thy hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host, and very many chariots and horsemen? And because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thy hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. Verse 12, and Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Asa suffered the rebuke of the prophet Hananiah. And the lesson is, quickly, the lesson is, how do we take the rebuke? How did Asa take this rebuke? He was angry. He said, "I will put the prophet of the Lord in prison." That's happened before, hasn't it? That God's men have been made to suffer and put in prison. Here, Asa, the prophet is in prison, and Asa just goes on, just to close, he goes on in this stubborn way. And even in his sickness, diseased in his feet, he really doesn't look back and he doesn't look up to the Lord, but rather he looks to the physicians. And again, it was failure on the part of Asa to fully trust in the Lord. So in summary, in closing, Asa sought the Lord Asa trusted in the Lord. Asa built and he prospered. There was revival in his reign. But sadly, he ended by a mistrust, looking possibly just boasting in his kingdom and in himself instead of relying upon the Lord. May the Lord just preserve us. All the pressures, problems in our day, may we just be able to look continually to the Lord trustingly for his blessing. Amen.